Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. Saturday the 2nd of April here in Oz, and Don Fox is rejoining me for a chat today. Always good to have you on, Don, for a chat on this podcast. Haven't chatted to you for a while, though. It may have been a couple of months, but how you going?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's good to be back on with you, Adam.
You're busy, that's for sure.
Yes, I am.
You're always busy.
I run very hard to go not very far.
It's hard work. Just getting your website now up now, which is always donaldfox.wordpress.com. Your website, Don, is .wordpress.
Yep.
Have you ever thought about changing it just to the .com? Because just so people, I guess if they look for Donald Fox, there might be other Don Fox because it's quite a common name.
But just about, I mean, all my fans, you know, there's a few of them out there. They know where to find me. And
Donald Fox, yeah, .wordpress.com. I always just make sure people know it because it's a pretty in-depth website. And
okay, so why do I have the free WordPress? Well, okay, I pay them $20 a year to store files up there, but you know, I've got no budget. And could I do web development? Yeah, I've done websites and stuff before, so it's not that I couldn't do it. It's A, I'd have to pay to host it somewhere, and then, you know, I don't have to worry about the security here because WordPress takes care of that.
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Just for doing what I'm doing, you know, at least the next couple of years I see myself, you know, being stuck on the old WordPress here.
Yeah, it does the job.
Yeah, sure. Eventually I'll probably have my... You can't do any advertising on a free WordPress blog. Any advertising that you see on there is from WordPress. You know, I get absolutely zero...
Yeah, it's hard.
...revenue from any of it, yeah.
Yeah, I get a couple of donations here and there. It's
That's it, yeah. Very few and far between, yeah. I'll get a 20 here and there. But yeah, as far as like revenue from WordPress, no, I get none.
It's hard. I mean, yeah, I have a domain and there's hosting, and which is done by Renegade in the US. So I would just put some money through there. But it costs to keep going. It's not easy, you know. It's time consuming to do this sort of stuff all the time, and researching and getting the website ready and putting up stuff. And you know, it's a draining ordeal sometimes, you know. And considering it's hard to really make anything.
It pays. Yeah, anybody that wants to do this, I'll tell you what it involves. Involves endless hours of work, being completely consumed by, you know, what's going on, what's already happened, analyzing everything. It never stops. You go to bed analyzing stuff. You wake up when your feet hit the floor. You start thinking again. And it pays nothing. So it's a lot of work, and you get a lot of crap from friends, family, and all the Hasbara trolls on the internet. So if you want abuse, ridicule, endless hours of work, feel free.
Yeah, well, it's frustrating because, you know, most of the world's population are listening to breakfast radio. Stuff like that, you know. We got these loudmouth shock jocks in the morning, you know. Start at 6 a.m. and there's millions of people in their cars driving on the freeways, you know, in the offices, just around tuning into these FM stations, you know, with these big studios, and they got all their equipment and, you know, all the money, and it's and then, you know, they got these multi-million dollar studios, and you know, all these people tuning in, and you're listening, and it's just absolute utter rubbish, you know, mainstream filth, propaganda, ridiculous garbage and nonsense, you know, weather, sports, that's it, and these idiots up there clowning on, you know, and you think, geez, if we could get shows like ours and things that we do more mainstream, you know, I mean, if I was driving to work, I'd love to listen to Don Fox and the JFK show and all the shows we do, and the medical shows and things we do, you know, I try that, but you can't get it anymore. We've got to sort of do it ourselves online.
And yeah, you do, and, you know, what I do is I download everybody's MP3s and I listen to the podcasts while I'm doing my daily chores.
Yeah, why not? It's a good thing. We're having that good effect in Australia. We're getting sort of alternative news sites overtaking the Rupert Murdoch media, which is fantastic news. You know, people are just getting utterly fed up with it, and it's just nonsense. And it's got worse. It's like as more and more people seem to become alert and aware of the system, you know, they dumb it down even more. And it just goes to show you how to disregard. I mean, they must think people are so stupid, which in general they are. But I mean, I think a lot of people want better content and better, better things on the radio. But it just still isn't there, even with digital radio. Not here in Australia, anyway. You know, I can't find anything good to listen to, really, except for podcasts. You know,
20, 30 years ago in the United States, everybody had a pretty cushy life. You know, bills were paid. There wasn't this massive student loan debt. There were still plenty of jobs here in this country, and the standard of living was creeping up. So when you've got conditions like that, most people, they don't even care. Ah, the government's corrupt, so what? You know, I got a 3-car garage, and there's a boat out there, and, you know, I got a fridge full of food, and, you know, I got a 2,500 square foot house, and a flat screen TV, you know. Screw it. I don't care about all these conspiracy theories. But then when their job gets outsourced and they had to sell the boat and eventually they had to sell the house and downsize, now they're back in a Rambler and they're working two jobs. The wife's out working and they see the country being flooded by non-whites and the standard of living to continually to go down the drain. Now there's a gap between the propaganda and reality. And then the bigger that gap gets, the more of a platform guys like you and me are going to have.
Yeah, I think so. You know, but, you know, it's, I did put up a story the other week about FBI, CIA control groups now flooding the internet. Just basically seeking out, as with the Hezbollah trolls, you know, seeking out anyone really just putting up alternative information, someone who has a website, if you're on social media, you know, just constantly trolling 24/7, you know.
I do get my share of attention from those type of folks. And
you run into them. You don't never know who you're dealing with. That's what I always say to people on Facebook. You know, they've got fake profiles and fake names, and you think you're just dealing with a troll, but you know, you can be caught on with them for months. They'll just suck your life away on there, you know? And it's like getting worse and worse all the time. I mean, to the point now where some shows, I think the last show Dr. Rima did on YouTube would not upload with Meryl Dorey. That's just for our listeners here, won't upload. A lot of problems there. Problems with our website a lot. Problems with loading and uploading and things being censored. Just sort of creepy little things that didn't happen much before, I'm noticing, with a lot of people's websites and things. Now, so, you know, I'm wondering where they're going to go with this as more and more people become aware and awake and start more websites and, you know, because I can tell you they don't want guys like you talking about JFK and 9/11 and nukes.
No, they don't.
And they don't want us doing shows like this. I mean, you know, they don't like it at all. And I think, as you said, the average Joe is just happy to have a fairly comfortable life and not buck the system, not rock the boat, you know? They've got a family, just live in the suburbs, and I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not saying anything.
Exactly. You know, keep my head down.
It's comfortable just to keep... Yeah, because if you've got a pretty good job and a comfortable life, you know, it's like, yeah, I know stuff's going on in there, you know, under the skin, under the surface, but I'm not going to buck it. I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah, it's like, let somebody else deal with that. I'm happy where I'm at, and there's less and less people like that now. And you know, as the gap between reality and the propaganda gets larger, they can't hide it now. I mean, the United States has been getting flooded with Mexicans now for really it's been 40 years, but now it's just with Obama, just wide open borders. And when you get a guy like Trump coming around saying, hey, you know what, we gotta build a fence, and then we should deport all these illegal aliens. Whoa, you can't do that. You can't break up these families. I'm like, well, they're all here illegally. None of them should be.
People they don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's why is it such a... I don't understand this because I follow it the best I can, but, you know, I've said this thousands of times on this podcast that, you know, you look at other countries, sure, you know, Latin America, Mexico is pretty crazy, and you can pretty much do whatever you want once you get in there, especially if you have some money. But, I mean, there's a lot of countries... you know, in the world, in Asia, where we are, and outside, you know, the Middle East and many strictly religious Muslim countries, for example, you know, where you know, you're not going to get away with much. I mean, you've got to toe the line in those countries. They have a strict way of living. And if you go there, you have to dress to their standard. You have to do as they do. You know, you don't want to get yourself in trouble in countries like Dubai and in Middle Eastern countries in Singapore, in these types of places, just for example, Muslim countries like Indonesia, you know, in any of these places, in some African in countries and parts of the world, you know, you kind of want to go there if you're a white person, if you dare to travel there anyway. You know, the women have to dress pretty strictly and you have to adapt to their way of life and kind of blend in. And eat their food as you do, you know. I mean, when I've traveled, I've done that. You know, blend into cultures and just do as they do. But because we're Western white countries, you know, like the United States, Canada, Australia, Europe, these countries, the UK, you know, we're just meant to bend over backwards and take it because we are white and we're a Western nations. And then some guy named Donald Trump comes up and says, hey, let's build a wall. Which is really, to me, common sense. Because if it was if the shoe was on the other side, on the other foot, and you were doing that to Mexico, you know, you can guarantee yourself, you know, 100% they're going to do it to you. Very quick, smart. But we're just meant to take this crap all the time, you know. All the time we're meant to cop it and just shut up about it, you know. And you know, it's really utterly ridiculous to me because, you know, from my perspective, what he's saying and doing is just utter common sense. And that's what Obama should have done a long time ago. That's what Australia does in a lot of ways, Don. You know, but we're surrounded by the oceans. But, you know, you come here, if they come in here on boats, they go to detention centres. You know, and they never get out of there. They're prisons, basically. And some people think that's very, very harsh what happens to them. You know, but I just can't understand America's borders being wide open and all sorts of criminals and all these people you do not want in the United States just flooding in at will, this, you know, at the expense of the American people and your healthcare system, at the expense of the American taxpayer and their way of life, just these people flooding in, then what does he do? He comes out and says, well, we're going to put a wall up so you can't do that. And then suddenly he's a bad guy. You know, he's a racist. But it's common sense, isn't it, Don?
It is. What if you're going to have a country, what's the first thing to have?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, by definition, you have to have borders. A country without borders is not a country. And... who are the people behind this massive immigration? Well, they're Jews. And, you know, I was just watching a David Duke video today, and he shows the headlines over in Israel. It's, hey, the immigration reform is in our strategic interest, is what they say, i.e. the destruction of white European society is in our best interest, which is what the goal is of these Jewish elites. It's the destruction of white European societies.
I see it.
And we see these same guys involved in, you know, if you start researching, you know, the conspiracies, you know, quote unquote, you're going to see a lot of these kosher characters popping up. You know, last fall, I just sent out an email to some of my research buddies, and you know, it's a synopsis of the JFK assassination. And this is just kind of a broad overview of what happened. You know, who was behind it at certain points. Okay, so I just kind of threw out some points here. You know, we'll just go over this quick. Okay, so first point. One, you know, why was JFK in Dallas in the first place? Well, he was lured there to raise money for the 64 election. There's a lot of wealthy Jewish Democratic donors in Dallas, and they were the ones that were behind the trip to start with. And then two, Jew Sam Bloom, who was on the Citizens Council, he got the motorcade route changed to maneuver Kennedy into the kill zone on Elm Street.
That's right.
And Bloom also made sure that the motorcade route was published in the newspapers. And then three, you got Jew Abraham Zapruder, who filmed the Kennedy's execution. And later on, Zapruder's family would receive a massive payoff, courtesy of Jew Ken Feinberg, he of 9/11 and the Penn State sex scandal fame and the BP oil spill. And he determined the fair market value of the film. So here's Feinberg. He doled out all the compensation to the 9/11 victims, and here he is deciding how much the Zapruder family should get for the Zapruder film. And then the fourth point I had was shots were fired from the Jew-owned uranium mining company window, which was in the Jew-owned Daltex building. And the uranium mining company was providing material, nuclear material, for Israel's nuclear weapons program. So here's a company that is sending uranium illegally to Israel to build illegal nuclear weapons, and they're in on the assassination of the President of the United States. Okay, and then the fifth point I had was Jew Sam Bloom was arranged for Lee Oswald's public transfer from the Dallas Police Department basement over to the, I think it was the city jail. And, of course, he never made it there. He got taken out. And then, after Kennedy was shot, then here's the sixth point I had was crypto Jew/Freemason Lyndon Johnson was sworn in on Air Force One as the president before JFK's body was even cold. So here we had Jews arrange for Kennedy's trip. They get the route published in the paper. They filmed it. They shot the patsy in the basement. And a Jew took over. Yeah, okay. And point seven was Jew Jack Rubenstein, Jack Ruby, executed the patsy, Lee Oswald, in the basement of the Dallas police station on national television on Sunday morning. So there's there's a lot of speculation that Jack Ruby was really a Mossad agent. We can probably go into that in another show, but there's quite a bit of evidence there that Jack Ruby was Mossad, not Mafia.
Israeli intelligence.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Basically.
All events. All these type of events.
And then point eight here, so then, well, the Jew-owned media, let's face it, all the TV networks, the major newspapers, they're all owned by Jews. They put out the lone gunman cover story. So Jewish oligarchy is covering all this up. And then nine, so of course, to backstop all of this, you've got several Jewish lawyers on the Warren Commission, including Arlen Specter, who came up with the single bullet theory, perhaps the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on the American public.
The magic bullet.
Yep, the magic bullet. That came from a Jew lawyer. And point 10. So Clay Shaw was the only person ever prosecuted publicly for JFK's murder. Shaw's handler was Jew Louis M. Bloomfield, who was a front man for the Jewish oligarch Bronfman crime family. And that's the Perm Index connection. You can go to YouTube, just punch in Don Fox Perm Index. Me and Gary did a show on that last year that was pretty good. And then point 11 here. Israel's illicit nuclear weapons program blossoms under the LBJ administration. And then 12, the USS Liberty incident. So LBJ, crypto Jew, and Israel conspired to attack a defenseless U.S. spy ship, the USS Liberty. They wanted to blame the attack on Egypt and then use that to justify the nuking of Cairo. They had to call back the planes that were going to drop nuclear bombs on Cairo just minutes before they were to fly over Cairo. So that they might have killed a million innocent people there out of that false flag. Yeah, it was a tragedy to what happened to the guys on that ship. They got napalmed and shot, blown up. But a far bigger tragedy was averted because they were so brave and hung on. Had that ship been sunk, Cairo surely would have been nuked. So that's one way to look at what happened in Dallas on the 22nd of November 1963. Those are just some dots you can connect.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, one other point about Jack Ruby. Now, Friday night, Jack Ruby was at Oswald's press conference, and he was serving as an interpreter for Israeli reporters. So, first of all, you know, we were talking about this. Okay, why were Israeli reporters there already? They caught a flight and flew over. That was a midnight press conference. So within 12 hours, you know, it's logistically possible. But you would think maybe they wouldn't be there for a day or two. Sometimes it's hard to book flights or whatever, but, you know, who knows how they actually got there. Nobody's actually identified those guys, and it would be interesting to see if somebody could figure out who they were. And you know, the second thing to talk about there, so if you do have Israeli reporters at this Oswald press conference, then why do they need a strip club owner to serve as a translator? You know, what's going on there? Why would major newspaper reporters enlist the services of a strip club owner to do their translating? Well, I think it's because Ruby was actually a Mossad agent, and he was one of their guys. That's why he was there. And a lot of intelligence people are multilingual. That's fairly common. So when you look at it from that angle, it makes perfect sense why Jack Ruby was there. But from the cover story point of view, it makes no sense at all. So we can see just, you know, right from beginning to end there, a lot of Jewish involvement. Now there's, you know, as a conspiracy theorist, you know, we like to get into a lot of minutia, you know, how many shots were fired. You know, where were they fired from? Who were the assassins? How much material was missing from C-399? You know, all that stuff. We love that, you know, as a conspiracy theorist. But sometimes you got to take that 5,000 or that 10,000 foot view of the thing.
I mean, what would be your views if we look at that and say if we look at more common or more recent events like these so-called terror attacks and bombings in Brussels and stuff, and back to 9/11 and stuff, and looking at Saudi involvement and CIA, and we're talking about Israeli involvement. And what's your view on that, and where do you think the orders are coming from? Do you think it's coming from inside Israel, or, you know, you get that feeling that there are a lot of good Jewish people out there who know what's going on as well, who are on our side? You wonder with these European sort of type Jews what their plans are for Israel, but you wonder where the actual commands are coming from within the United States, because you look at CIA and FBI or whatever involvement, and they mentioned Saudi money being pumped in and all this, but you know, you sort of wonder. We look at AIPAC in the US. You sort of wonder where it's actually all coming from. You know, I mean, coming from Europe, from London, from Rothschilds.
City of London.
City of London. Where the commands are coming from. Because we look at Israel and we blame them directly. But you got to feel for the average Jew around the world or in Israel on the ground who doesn't really have a clue what's going on here.
Now, the lesser Jews don't.
Yeah, I feel for them a little bit, you know.
They're kind of our genetic enemy in certain respects, and we can probably get into that in a different show, but the average Jew that works in a cubicle really doesn't have any idea that any of this stuff's going on. No, they're not let in on it. In fact, part of the Holocaust angle was to scare Jews out of Germany and make them move to Israel.
Exactly.
You know, the big elite Jews. I mean, we're not talking about the guy down the street. These are obviously, these are top of the food chain type guys that we're talking about here. And as I've said before, and bears repeating, there's a direct historical path from Dealey Plaza to New York on 9/11. I think in both instances, what you really can glean from both of these is that, hey, there is a power structure above your visible national government.
Exactly. We're trying to make people understand that.
If John F. Kennedy ran anything, do you think they would have been able to shoot him in the middle of the street in broad daylight at high noon?
Yeah. You don't just need guts and balls to do that.
No.
But as you said, you're not gonna be able to just blow the head off of course it's a president, it's a powerful man, but it makes you understand that when these people want to play hardball, they just blow the head off a president. That's what they're prepared to do, bring down buildings in front of the whole world, sacrifice people. When push comes to shove, you can clearly see when things get serious for these people, they just swipe away whatever's there, whether it's a president, whether it's buildings, whatever it is, whether it's a country, a war, whatever it is, you can see this shadowy power elite behind the system that is propped up in front of us that we believe to be our governments and we put our faith and trust in, and we think that they run the show. But when push comes to shove, you can see they just swipe it away.
Yeah, there's definitely when the rubber hits the road, there is a level of power above the visible national government. And everyone's like, well, Wall Street. You remember the few years ago we had the Wall Street protests. And, there's a certain amount of power on Wall Street. There's no question about that. But, again, if Wall Street ran everything, how could their buildings get nuked at 9 in the morning? You know, on a Tuesday, fall day, And so obviously Wall Street's a piece of the puzzle. There's no question about it. A lot of money's flowing through there, but they obviously cannot be the top of the food chain. So I think 9/11 was another one of those signals. Hey, you don't run anything. It was a strike at the heart of American financial and military might. They nuked the Pentagon. And we could probably cover that on a future show too. We could break that down. And they nuked New York, the biggest buildings in America's biggest city.
It's
blown into microscopic nanoparticles.
It's a modern day Kennedy, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It's like you look at what was done to Germany, and the atrocities and utter horror always implies to me that just seems satanic to me, and then you look at a president having his head blown off, and you look at those buildings being
obviously
brought down.
These are evil deeds.
Is the this military black budgets, is this like a con? I mean, when you look at reports of $52.6 billion just going down a black hole, and that was in 2013, to these black budgets and these whistleblowers supposedly saying, hey, these trillions of dollars being ciphered out of the US alone over the years. These guys just saying, I don't know where the money went, in front of Congress, just lying, and no one being able to touch these people. and this money going, that's what we've heard, we've utterly heard that, this trillions of dollars going to the City of London, to the Vatican, to Israel, and yep. for black operations. So I think people need to understand now that these terror attacks and these killings and mass murder being committed in different countries that are being blamed on ISIS, which is being funded by this money, these are obviously, from what we've heard, contract killers. That's all they are. They're just like robots. Yep. They contract them out, they do their killings, and they get paid, and they go and probably either yes. take more jobs or go and retire or wherever. But this sort of black budget, is that something you've looked in? Is that what's sort of happening here? Because you're wondering, you know, when you're looking at somewhere like the US.
Yeah, there's a lot of money floating around. Now, let's talk about that. Let's just touch on that for a second. Okay, on September 10th, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld got up there on a Monday morning. Remember, September 10th was a Monday because 9/11 was on a Tuesday. I remember it well. On Monday morning, Donald Rumsfeld got up in front of the national press and said, hey, we can't account for, was it $2.3 trillion worth of transactions? We just don't know what happened. We can't find the money. Where did it go? And who was the comptroller of the Pentagon at that time? Yeah. Rabbi Dov Zakheim. And, you know, we'll get to him in a minute. So let's, then, yeah, I had a post here about a month ago come out, a little over a month. All the Jews involved in 9/11, and you know, at the top of the list is Larry Silverstein. And now a video just came out here. Was it a week or so ago, where he admits that they were designing the blueprints of the new Building 7 back in April of 2000.
Okay, yeah, I just had that on. I was staring at that right now. I hadn't seen that before. That's on your website. March 22nd, 2016, Larry Silverstein. Yeah, New World Trade Center 7 design in April of 2000.
So a year and a half before 9/11, they're hard at work. So, I mean, obviously the official story is just...
Come on, Don, don't be a conspiracy theorist again. Here we go with your conspiracy theories.
Yeah, and I'm a proud conspiracy theorist at this point, okay? Do not lump me in with all these coincidence theorists.
You can clearly see that it's not only being pre-designed and pre-planned and orchestrated, but also all the mechanisms going on behind this machine, getting all this set up. And it just, they're trying to make out like it's random, you know? Arab hijackers take the planes. Box cutters. Oh, come on.
Jet fuel.
Men still believe this, and it's like people aren't seeing this. You know, that was all pre-planned. You know?
Nobody wants to admit that, but I'm like,
I guess it's too scary for them.
Yeah, as it was going down, I thought, man, this is just taking place with this military precision, and I'm like, this had to be, somebody had to be in on it. I didn't know who then or what or why they did it. You know, back in 2001. Then you know, after you watched. It was a devastating event in this country. I mean, literally, the population was in shock.
It's a spiritual, psychological. It's in every single possible human level that you can conjure up. It's an attack on our senses, everything. It just, you know, people will never live it down, ever.
No, people were just numb for like 6 months.
You just can't believe it. That's something. How does this happen in broad daylight?
In the United States of America. With this huge military and all this technology, how does something like this go down? It was just, it hit people on a level they weren't prepared for it. And as the years go on, you know, again, we talk about the gap between the cover story and reality. It's just 9/11 truth is now really starting to kind of percolate up again because there's new people that were too young to know what was going on back then. They're now starting to look at it. And, you know, with the rise of the alt-right, we're seeing more people taking a second look or maybe even a first look at 9/11.
I always thought it was, I was talking about it, just going into the lead-up before 9/11, obviously before it happened in the United States, when obviously no one on the ground knew this was going to take place, you know. But the subliminal type kind of advertising going on, did you do any looking into that? Like, was there a preparation taking place? It for the psyche of the world, just the Americans alone. Was there things going on, I wonder, in advertising, in magazines, in
I
TV,
heard
in
The Simpsons. I heard The Simpsons had that. And see, I don't watch a lot of TV now. I didn't watch it much back then. Back then, I had a full-time job and I was going to school almost on a full-time basis. So I was pretty wrapped up in all of that. I wasn't watching The Simpsons much, or I would watch, I'd catch a football or basketball or a baseball game, and that'd be about it.
There's a
But
lot of
I
those shows. There was a
yeah,
Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles one as well. Cartoon.
there's a lot of other
A
people that have
lot.
done.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have done work on that, the kind of the foreshadowing in the media, and that was definitely going on.
The Hollywood stuff, like conditioning. It's really weird. It makes you feel like you're living in a dream when you start to look at that side of things as well. And then the way they just perfectly executed it, it was like a lightning bolt strike to your head in the middle of the day. It was just,
Oh, yeah, it definitely was.
I mean,
Yeah.
people going to work, a crystal blue day, going on with their lives as normal. It is unbelievable, And we've talked about that with you before, with the Hollywood movies and stuff, and people being so, and that line being blurred of being what's real and what's not, because people are so used to watching films and movies where this, the Pentagon's getting attacked and it's all White House down and all these attacks going on, and you're watching in a movie, but I guess, you watch that on TV, you can't distinguish what's real and what's not. It's just so shocking for the
Well,
senses,
it's yeah. Some of my friends call it the Talmud vision, or now what's the other one they call it? Yeah, there's a couple names for it, where it's just basically you're getting fed some Jewish propaganda on the flat screen, as it were.
Well, it's it, to see that stuff about Israel military, army pumping in pornography into houses in Iraq and those countries that they blew up, that I didn't believe that at first.
No,
Do you
no.
know
That
a bit about that? Is
yeah,
that
I've heard about that.
through
Yeah,
their
that's what they
satellites? They
do.
just
They talk about the need to destroy
A
the
lot of people
social
wouldn't
order.
believe that.
Yeah, they use pornography
Yes.
to break down the functioning social order. See, a healthy society is anathema to a Jew. So the Jews must destroy functioning human society. That they can't have that. So that's why you see all this gay marriage and the all the transgender, all this stuff. It's all Jewish.
I just on that subject, I put a article up on the Kras Files called "Queering the Schools." I don't know if you read that. It was gay activist groups with teachers' unions are importing a disturbing agenda into American schools happening here. It's saying school districts that refuse to go along with homosexual agenda now must contend with American Civil Liberties Union as well. The ACLU's Lesbian and Gay Rights Project has launched a national effort called Every Student, Every School that plans to sue on First Amendment grounds any school that refuses gay straight student clubs on its premises. Already schools in Kentucky and Texas face legal action. I mean, and so
Yep, so we're gonna see now we're gonna destroy your social order with our Jewish lawyers.
there you go, I mean, that's
That
unbelievable. And we're also hearing in the UK where they're wanting kids to start going to being schooled at 2 years old, and they want to extend the schooling hours. So you've got
Yep.
these poor kids in there from 7 in the morning till 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night,
Yeah,
and that's what
they're at the
David Icke said.
government.
They're prison camps. That's what they
Yeah,
are.
that's what it is.
Yep,
It's
indoctrination prison camps where they're turning your kids into this. Bisexuals and homosexuals and all this sort of stuff. And the power that these gay, lesbian, transgender, transsexual groups have, You know, it's happening here in Australia as well. Bisexual, gay, lesbian awareness days and weeks. When teachers should be bloody well teaching kids. You know, I mean, you think of how bad the schools are anyway, and that everything they teach is an absolute lie about our history, for starters, and now they're getting this stuff in to our kids is really staggering.
It's all degenerate. It's all...
And, yeah.
Rotten. Yeah, and it's all designed at breaking down human society. That's what the goal is, especially white human society. That's their number one target. And we'll touch on that in a minute, but you know, maybe getting back to 9/11, before we wander too far off of the subject. So we can't just hammer Larry Silverstein and let the other guys off the hook. So number two.
Not Frank Lowy. Can't let him
off. Number two on my list was Frank Lowy.
We got him here.
Czechoslovakian-born Jew and the owner of Westfield America, which is a pretty big...
Ruined our local mall, Don. We had a great local Ringer Mall, and Westfield gobbled it up, and now they've just destroyed it. They've just destroyed it. It's an utter mess. It was a great mall.
Yeah.
He's come in, and he wanted to make more money, and they've knocked it all down. They've tried to get greedy, and it's not working. But that's what he does. Yeah.
So Frank Lowy, he's a big player in 9/11.
As you said, Westfield owner, Westfield America, Westfield Australia, big Westfield malls. He had the Westfield malls at the World Trade Center. It's saying on your website here, approximately 427,000 square feet of retail floor space.
So we had a little remodel job.
Jesus.
Going on, yeah.
Frank Lowy is, as you said, a Czechoslovakian-born Jew as well.
So he had a career in real estate. And, he was a member of the Golani Brigade and fought in the Israel War of Independence. And before that, he was a member of Haganah, a Jewish terrorist organization. He spent 3 months of the year at his home in Israel and has been described by the Sydney Morning Herald as a self-made man.
With
a strong interest in the Holocaust and Israeli politics.
Did you see Don when he fell off the stage here in Australia at the soccer game?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Didn't see that? Yeah, he was up there at a soccer football match and, fell off the stage quite high, straight onto his head, upside down.
Ouch.
He copped it. Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe that's a little bit of karma coming back for
Frank. He made it out.
Yeah. Probably got a nice lump out of that deal, though.
But, yeah, you know, we've got to watch these sporting events, and he's into our soccer, football, federations and our malls. He's just in everything, you know. It's kind of sickening as an Australian to see him up there.
It's hard to escape him. And then
Frank Lowy's Don is a guy that Australians wouldn't see. Has a lot of power in our government here. You know, they wouldn't see him as, but he's a guy that you don't see sort of working hand in hand with the government, but has a lot of power there. Absolutely.
Well, these real estate guys that have a lot of money, they can make their way through. And one aspect of 9/11, I think, that gets overlooked, and this is where Louis Eisenberg comes in. He was the head of the Port Authority of New York, New Jersey, and he authorized the lease transfer to Silverstein and Lowy. Eisenberg was a large contributor to the Bush-Cheney presidential campaign, as well as a partner in the Jewish bank Goldman Sachs. Eisenberg has been a member of the planning board of the United States, the United Jewish Appeal / United Jewish Federation, pro-Israeli government pressure groups in the U.S.
People need to read that on as well. Eisenberg being the head of the Port Authority of New York.
The Port Authority was central in this whole disaster. They were the ones pushing for the privatization of the Twin Towers, and if they were not on board with what happened on 9/11, there's no way it could have happened. The New York, New Jersey Port Authority has got its thumbprints all over this. You know, everybody, Bush, Cheney, all this and that. But the New York Port Authority is really something to look at if you're out there digging into this at home, folks. You know, I've done some work on it. I know they were centrally involved, but there's a lot of I've talked to a few people. And yeah, there's a lot of skeletons in the closet there at the Port Authority.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So we get that as well. And our transport, whole train systems, all that, with Mossad or Jewish intelligence operations going on there, you know? These so-called Lint Cafe terrorist attack here. I'm wondering if there will be more. But they seem to be all through our system as well. These are important grids, aren't they? Especially when you're looking at 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, someone would say the Port Authority, what? Well, New York City Port Authority.
Yeah, they
Eisenberg.
They were responsible for, you know, a lot of functions going on down there. The upkeep, you know, collecting tolls, you know, stuff like that. And our last prominent Jew in the control of the World Trade Center is none other than Ronald Lauder, billionaire Estee Lauder cosmetics magnate.
This is interesting, Estee Lauder cosmetics magnate.
Yeah. Ronald Lauder, yeah. He was the chairman of New York Governor George Pataki's Commission on Privatization.
He's Jewish?
Yes.
Lauder. Yeah. So he's this is the Jews into the cosmetics. Very, very strong in that, in the makeup, cosmetics, especially the magazines, all that stuff as well. Yeah. The clothes, fashion, very big.
Yeah, so he lobbied hard for the privatization of the World Trade Center, and he was also instrumental in the successful privatization of the former Stewart Air Force Base. And oddly, the flight paths of 175 and Flight 11 converged directly over this airport. So again, if you're a coincidence theorist, you know, that privatization of the airport really doesn't mean anything, but if you look at who's involved in 9/11 and what was going on, then that makes more sense. Now, Flight 11 didn't actually take off that day, but that's where they, that's a whole other kettle of fish. Were the flights real, this and that? And we could probably do a whole show on that, although I'm by no means the most leading authority on the 9/11 planes. Suffice it to say that no commercial plane crashed anywhere on 9/11.
Yeah. I don't think any planes hit the towers at all.
No, I don't either, no.
It was a sleight of hand, like a big David Copperfield trick.
Yep.
Like a magic trick.
Yeah, either it was either CGI or it was a hologram.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, if you're going to pull off something like this, you have to control the security. So the WTC security was in Zionist hands.
We're looking at that, yeah. I mean, just what with the points we've gone through now. And going back as well to the black budget with all that money disappearing, there's a lot of money behind the scenes to run this. But having, as we've just talked about, these guys and these billionaires, running these companies and ports and having the people in the right place. Wow, that's power, man.
Exactly. This is analyzing what really how this is how the world really works, folks. You know, it isn't just random events and. You know, people don't just amass large fortunes by accident.
These people are all sick pedophiles as well.
I would imagine they are.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I wouldn't want to know what they do, you know?
I don't either. I don't want to run into them on a personal level.
But I guess you're the same, you know? These port authorities, and we'll keep moving here, are down the points that you have. But I guess the average Joe, you know... the average guys just doing their day-to-day job in these places didn't have a clue what was going on. You know, it's all
they're just
toeing the line, and I guess it was so strictly organized and controlled. They wouldn't have known. It would have been It would have been a sleight of hand for them as well. They would have caught up in it. You know,
the minds of the goyim must be preoccupied with industry and trade.
Exactly, and if you do see anything suspicious and open your mouth, you're going to die.
Pretty much, yeah.
You're going to disappear.
must spend your whole life chasing your tail for that almighty shekel. And if you, you know, you look, you stick your head up above that fray, we will
stick your head
back.
Yeah, stick your head above the mud. Yeah. Let's keep moving anyway on this. We're on to Ronald Lauder, a cosmetics magnate.
Yeah,
Estee Lauder. Wow.
Yeah, Estee Lauder. Yeah, you don't, when you think of 9/11, you don't think of Estee Lauder, do you?
No, like these kind of fragrance billionaires, you struggle, don't you, to think of someone like Ronald Lauder, how much money these cosmetic magnates really have, you know?
That is a big pile of cash right there.
God, yeah. You know? Calvin Klein, you know?
All that.
Goldman Sachs. Gee, I don't think the average person who's going to listen to this, you can't comprehend the money these guys have. And that kind of power and money, well, you know, it's pretty easy for them to pretty much do whatever the bloody hell they want.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, if you're going to have, you know, powerful Jews owning the World Trade Center complex, of course you're going to have a big Jew running the security. And yet Jerome Hauer, who was also the person chosen to run Mayor Rudy Giuliani's Office of Security or Office of Emergency Management from 96 to 2000. He's the key individual that pushed for this office to be placed in Silverstein's Building 7.
Okay, so you're talking about emergency management here.
Yep.
With key individuals going into office placed in Silverstein's Building 7.
Yep. Yeah, he was the one pushing for that.
That's the third tallest building to collapse on that day for no reason.
Yeah, and Building 7 was no, you know, next to the towers, everybody thinks it's the small building. Well, it was 47 stories tall.
Oh, man. You know, for us in Sydney, that's huge.
Yeah, this is the Building 7 in and of itself would be the tallest building in 13 different states, I believe, in the United States.
Just disappearing for no reason.
Yeah, poof, gone in 6.5 seconds. And there's a huge pyroclastic flow of dust and debris going down the street after it went.
It's like watching a cartoon, seeing that. Yep. So you're like, what? This thing just... It's like taking the curtains away and it's just gone.
Poof, yeah. And then, of course, there was Israeli espionage all around 9/11. Shortly before 9/11, 140 Israelis had been arrested for suspected espionage, some of them posing as art students. These suspects targeted or penetrated military bases, DEA, FBI, Secret Service, ATF, U.S. Customs, IRS, INS, EPA, Interior Department, U.S. Marshals Service, and various U.S. Attorney's Offices. Secret government offices enlisted private homes of law enforcement / intelligence officers. Most of the suspects served in military intelligence, electronic surveillance intercept, and or explosive ordnance units. So these art students.
Yep.
Were air quotes there, insert your own air quote.
We've had that here as well.
Yeah.
I saw it on our main news a while ago. I didn't know so much about that. This is going back a bit, yeah, about these art students. They've caught them here. And I've seen them on the border security shows as well in the airports. I saw one show. It was Israeli art students, and they claim they're going around selling the art, but here you go. Very interesting.
Yeah, they're definitely Israeli intelligence operatives.
And they're only young guys. I mean, you wouldn't sort of think, you know. They're just young students.
Yep. And then, okay, so before 9/11, you had 140 of them arrested for suspected espionage. And then after 9/11, over 60 Israelis were detained, either under the Patriot Anti-Terrorism Act or for immigration violations. Some of them were active Israeli military personnel. A number of them failed polygraph examinations when questioned for surveillance activities against the U.S.
And you got here dozens of Israelis arrested in American malls, kiosks, selling toys, acting as front for spying operations.
Yeah, of course, the most infamous of these arrests were the dancing Israelis.
Yeah.
we are not your problem. Yeah, Sivan Kurzberg ended up on an Israeli talk show, and he stated that they were there to document the event. Well, who knew there was going to be an event to document?
Yeah.
It was just a really nice September day in New York City. Nobody knew. It was not publicly announced that every building with a WTC prefix was going to get flattened that day. But nonetheless, there he was there to document the event.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so he got arrested, and he told the arresting officer, hey, we're not your problem. Your problem is our problems. The Palestinians are the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So they want to blame Palestinians.
I'm kind of surprised to hear Donald Trump talk about that at the APEC meeting, blaming Palestine and Iran,
which
is a little bit much for me personally. And many of his a lot of what he's doing, but that was a bit, I don't know what his angle is there, but that, to blame Palestine for what, what have they done? their whole bloody country's been turned to dust,
Yeah, they're getting wiped out. Yeah,
Iran have done nothing really. I mean, what have they ever done?
They have not adopted a Rothschild central bank.
What's your idea on? Well, that's another show, isn't it? With Trump.
Yeah. Oh. we'll do a Trump show here, especially as this campaign's really starting to heat up now. And another aspect of 9/11 you don't hear a ton about was the truck bomb destined for George Washington Bridge. Now, Gordon Duff over at Veterans Today talks about that quite a bit. The Jerusalem Post later reported that a white van containing a bomb was stopped as it approached the George Washington Bridge, but the ethnicity of the suspects was not revealed. This is what the Jerusalem Post reported back on September 12th. Quote, American security services overnight stopped a car bomb on the George Washington Bridge. The van, packed with explosives, was stopped on an approach ramp to the bridge. Authorities suspect the terrorists intended to blow up the main crossing between New Jersey and New York. So not only did they want to bring down the buildings, they wanted to destroy the escape routes. And then there was the infamous mural van. One of the more bizarre events of the day came in the form of a mysterious white van parked a few blocks away from the Twin Towers on 6th and King that had a mural painted on the side that depicted a jetliner crashing into the Twin Towers and exploding. Now, I'm sure
is all documented as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, you can Google it.
People are going to say, come on, Don, what? But you can see it all, yeah. Yeah, it's weird, I know, but it's true.
Yeah, there's a bunch of YouTube videos on the mural van, yeah.
That's unbelievable in itself.
Yeah. I mean. And then, we're not doing the most thorough, deep investigation here. We're just kind of throwing out a few key points, and you can kind of connect the dots here at home yourself. And then, one of my favorites was the Urban Moving Systems van. All of the white vans belong to the company Urban Moving Systems under the direction of Dominic Suter, an Israeli spy who immediately fled to Israel after the attacks. It was confirmed by two former CIA officers that this Israeli company was a front operation for the Mossad. The two CIA sources noted that moving vans were a common intelligence cover. The Israelis were held in custody for 71 days before being quietly released by Zionist Michael Chertoff, who was head of the Justice Department Criminal Division at the time.
Just a little side note here as we go through this, when you're talking about CIA sources talking about this and, CIA American intelligence uncovering this and letting people know this about these Zionist activities and these traitorous Jews in America at the time doing all this. What's going on? I mean, obviously the Americans are allowing it to happen, but then on the other side of the coin, do you actually have proper investigations going on? I mean, is there a system in the US where they really want to expose and tackle this Israeli problem, but there's another side where
There's
it's
no,
they're not being allowed either. It's like it's really
there's no,
crazy. It's schizophrenic.
there is no political will to investigate.
But there's obviously in the American government and within the CIA, FBI, and these groups, they know what's going on, and they're allowing it.
Oh
But there must
yeah,
be
well,
guys in there that want to stamp it out as well, that are trying to do the good thing. Or is it all
well.
completely controlled over there in America?
Those guys get weeded out, fairly early on.
Would
They
you
don't
say
get.
it's more leaning towards being completely Zionist controlled? I mean, obviously the average cop on the ground and guy, they don't really know what's going on, or they might have their views, but sort of the most important bits, I mean, would be dominated.
Jews are 2% of the population, yet we got four of them on the Supreme Court. I mean,
There must be elements in the CIA and your government that want to make a change here pretty quick.
well, see, but when you dig down deep, what is the CIA? Well, if you do any research on the CIA itself, you find out, well, they work for the big fat Wall Street banks.
Yeah, it's
Well,
a front.
yeah, who owns the Wall Street banks? The Jewish oligarchy. Yeah. So, is the CIA any real opposition to the Mossad? No. My boy Dennis Camino, he just calls the CIA. It's just basically the Mossad West.
They're sort of just exposing things they feel they need to keep the mob happy. But
I mean, you might get some raw rookies that come in there with a head of steam, going, "Hey, I'm gonna, I'm they're super patriotic, and hey, I'm gonna defend my country," and yada yada. And then I think once they kind of get in there, they either make a decision of, "Well, I've got a nice cushy job, I can just shut my mouth and, cash the paychecks," or if you start squeaking up, you start squawking, they probably get rid of you. Nobody in a real powerful position at CIA is going to go after the Jews.
When you look at US support, you look at, $10 million a day in financial aid going to Israel from American taxpaying pockets. You think, Jesus, that 10 million a day, and that was a while ago. I mean, I mean, you're looking at Israel in aid. It's
It's
costing
ridiculous.
Americans, like $7 million a day, thousands of American jobs. I mean, this is a very wealthy country. Israel are resource poor as well. I mean, something's propping that country up because,
Well,
from
yeah,
what I can see, they shouldn't be very rich at all, but they are exceedingly wealthy.
it's on the backs of the American taxpayer.
Exactly,
That's
but the poor old Yankees, poor old Uncle Sam.
Do you not think Detroit could use $10 million a day?
I'm just looking at,
Baltimore? I mean, yeah, come on.
they're
I mean,
calling
but
it.
no, we gotta send it all to Tel
They're
Aviv.
calling Tel Aviv, Don, now the new Hollywood. If you have a look at news out of there, it's this glossy, nightlife casino sort of place now where a lot of money's being pumped and they're living a good life there. It's people wouldn't
I heard it's.
associate it, but if you have a look, go online and have a look. It's a very it's the place to be now, Tel Aviv. When then you look at cities like Detroit and America sort of falling in on itself with all their industry going, and you think, well, and then you're going, well, why are we giving Israel $10 million a day? I mean. And you look at the Wall Street banks, as we were talking about, you look at these big Zionist banks pumping money over there, and these traitorous people being in the US to commit all these heinous, disgusting, satanic acts in American borders. Wow.
Well, a not so pretty picture is starting to emerge here, I think.
My God. And it goes beyond that, Don, as well.
Oh yeah, and then here's now where kind of the rubber is going to hit the road. Zionist Jews in all the right positions in the Bush administration. Again, the Jews were vastly overrepresented in the Bush administration.
No. You know,
yeah, I know. That may come as a shock to some of the audience out there. But
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, here's a cast of characters for you. Now, these are the guys that really should be in the history books when it comes to 9/11. Okay. And we had alluded to this guy earlier. You know, Rabbi Dov Zakheim. Dov Zakheim, I've heard it pronounced. He was the co-author of the PNAC paper, PNAC being the Project for the New American Century, on rebuilding America's defenses, advocating the necessity of a Pearl Harbor-like event to mobilize America. He served as the Pentagon comptroller from May 4th, 2001 to March 10th, 2004. Two large sums of money disappeared from the Pentagon on his watch. In the beginning, $2.3 trillion was reported missing by Donald Rumsfeld, and that was on September 10th, 2001. And later, Zakheim was unable to account for another trillion. That was towards the end of his tenure. And Zakheim also had flights of American F-15s and F-16s sold at surplus to Israel. Oh, so the fighters, sold the F-15s and 16s as surplus to Israel at a fraction of their value. So they got a sweetheart deal there. So they didn't even pay us back all of our tax money that we shipped there to ship them our planes. And then here's another guy, Michael Chertoff. And we talked about him. He was the assistant attorney general for the criminal division of the Justice Department. Later, director of Homeland Security. His wife, Meryl Chertoff, was a regional director of the ADL. I know there's a shock, isn't it? His mother was a flight attendant for LL and thus had other involvement with the Mossad. His father and uncle are both rabbis. And then another infamous name, Richard Perle.
Yeah.
Yep, chairman of the Pentagon's Defense Policy Board. He was expelled from Senator Henry Jackson's office back in the 70s after NSA caught him passing highly classified documents to Israel. And then we got Paul Wolfowitz, Deputy Defense Secretary and member of the Defense Policy Board in the Pentagon. And he was later tapped to be the head of the World Bank, another huge Jewish financial institution. And then we had Douglas Feith. He headed the reconstruction in Iraq, effectively in command with Wolfowitz at the War Department on 9/11. He was Undersecretary of War for Policy. He was fired from the National Security Council in 1976 on suspicion of passing classified documents to Israel. A dual Israeli U.S. citizen, Douglas Feith created the Office of Special Plans shortly after 9/11, which was there at all the fake. And that's where all the fake intelligence accusing Iraq of developing WMDs came from. So yeah. You can thank Doug Feith for that. And then Elliot Abrams, key National National Security Council advisor, associated with criminal Zionist slash pro-Israel think tanks, AEI, which is the American Enterprise Institute, PNAC, CSP, and JINSA, closely associated with other criminal Jews, Pearl Feith, and Wolfowitz. Oh, and Bill Kristol. Yeah, Bill Kristol's a name we've been hearing about. And he was convicted of lying to Congress in the Iran-Contra affair, but later given a pardon by Bush. Wow. Elliot Abrams. Now that's a pretty good-sized name right there. And then,
yeah, Abrams, yeah.
Then Mark Grossman, a name you may not have heard a ton of. He was Undersecretary for Political Affairs on 9/11. And he met with General Mohammed Ahmad, head of Pakistan's ISI and 9/11 financer, on or shortly after 9/11. He's another one of our dual Israeli-U.S. citizens.
And their allegiance is not to the U.S.
No, there's no...
There is no allegiance to the U.S.
These guys are traitors. Like, no, you can't call these big Jews traitors because they have no allegiance to the United States, and you should never ever think that they're on your side in the first place.
Snakes in the grass, aren't they? You just got to see them as being undercover. It's like going deep undercover. Yeah, you know?
They're the enemy no matter what.
They're pretending to have America's interests at their heart, but as you've been reading, you know, all these highly classified documents are being fed out. I mean, if anyone thought that George W. Bush, who could barely even spell his name, was running America, I mean, it's just it's a prop.
It's a
laughable prop. That's what we have. And they set these guys up who everyone focuses their attention that way instead of the other way. And they're getting all this stuff done behind your back, you know, and everyone thinks George W. Bush is running the country.
Yeah.
But look at all these people. And this is, we're only going through, we're only skimming over it. I mean.
Yeah. We're not doing a massive in-depth investigation.
You start to get into the security control of 9/11, like the airports and the security companies and everything. It's, oh my God, it's deep stuff. And it's all these same people again.
Yeah. I mean, these are all public, well-known names. These names should be familiar to all 9/11 researchers.
Ari Fletcher.
Yeah, Ari Fletcher. Yeah, there's a good one. Yeah, the White House spokesman for Bush on 9/11. He was a hardline Iraq weapons of mass destruction lies to the press. Another dual citizen of U.S. and Israel, connected to the extremist group called Chabad Lubavitch Hasidics. Now, we should probably talk about that for just a minute here. A lot of people, you know, when you start digging into this, well, who runs everything? One name you hear a lot is the Rothschilds. Now, a blurb I've been looking at lately came across my plate was that the Rothschilds may be indeed just a front for Chabad Lubavitch. Chabad Lubavitch is a, you know, kind of a hardcore Jewish religious organization.
Chabad Lubavitch.
Yep.
Hasidics.
Yep.
So what are we looking at here?
Hasidim.
What is it, like a private enterprise, like a group?
They're kind of like a denomination of Judaism.
It's like an order?
Yeah, they're... You know, like you've got Catholics, Protestants, Baptists, you know, Chabad Lubavitch is kind of a Judaic sect of Hasidim.
Is this out of Israel itself?
That's
this group,
probably,
they got tentacles, yeah, obviously.
They got, yeah, like every big Jewish organization, their tentacles reach everywhere, so.
You mean this is something that the Rothschilds sort of, not answer to, but...
front for, apparently.
Front sort of for, yeah.
Yeah, apparently. You know, I mean, the Rothschilds didn't really come on the scene until, what, the late 1700s, early 1800s. Chabad Lubavitch goes way back. So, that's, you know, I by no means an expert in them, but that's a name I've been seeing pop up lately.
Extreme rabbis as well.
Yeah.
Are behind a lot of things. That's a bit staggering. It's very frightening.
Like if you punch Chabad Lubavitch into Google, and I've seen pictures with Obama hanging out back in like 2004 with Chabad Lubavitch.
I sort of didn't realize, you know, when you see these rabbis over there on the Wailing Wall, that they're conjuring demons sexually.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Having like sex with demons.
When you watch these guys
wailing, they're thrusting,
they're thrusting. Yeah. All that pelvic thrusting. That's, and they don't speak Hebrew. That's another lie. They speak Yiddish. Okay. Yiddish and Hebrew are two separate things. Okay. As a white European, what Hebrew really was, it was kind of the forerunner to the English language. The true Hebrew people were white Europeans that after we were let out of captivity down in Assyria.
I think the
Jews are Yiddish, which is more of a, it's like a demonic language. You know, these guys are imposters. They've stolen, you know, their name of their country is Israel. None of them are descended from Jacob Israel. They're descended from his brother Esau.
Almost like a demonic entity or presence.
Yes.
If I see the average Jews over there, I'd want to get together and get these people out. But I think it's too late, you know. I feel for the average Jews who are going along with this as well, Don. You know, who are going along with this power structure, not really understanding it. Time's up for them.
I think
serious business, man.
On a larger level, and we could probably do a show on this at some point. Is the end of the reign of Jewish terror is probably upon us. It's on the horizon. I think it's going to fall, and it's going to fall soon.
And people say, oh, you know, we're anti-Semitic and we're anti-Jewish and all this stuff. But, you know, you and I and people who look into this, we're just ordinary people. And we do want to protect our ancestry and our countries, being white lineage, you know. But it's like all we're doing here is stating the very, very obvious. I mean, because, yeah, you know, when you look at Zionist Israeli involvement in 9/11, it is, I mean, out of any other race, whether you're Jewish or not, it doesn't matter. I don't care what color people are. I mean, you know, you look at this and it's so overwhelming. It really is. I mean,
Look at all these names I've just reeled off.
I mean, this is like, we're only lightly skimming over this. I mean,
I've
looked into it as well. It's deep. It's deep stuff, and it's all the same people.
So I guess kind of the point to this, going, you know, doing this blog post and then talking about it on the podcast here, is maybe to get some new people to see some of the bigger picture.
Well, as you said, a lot of people like to listen to podcasts, and for them, a lot of people like that to go through the points and put the website link up. People like to hear it as well, and sort of your discussions on who they are and the people. So it's a really good. That's what you do so well, is put these sort of PowerPoint displays out to go through bit by bit. A lot of websites they kind of skim over and it gets a bit confusing, but you've bluntly put it out here, the names, who they are. And it all adds up. It really does.
They can't deny this. I mean, these people are, I mean, it's a conspiracy. No, these were people that had open power. Yeah, they were public figures, yeah.
Where are we up to on the 9/11 hands? We're up to Ari Fleischer.
Ari Fleischer, we were just talking about him, and then now we're at the 9/11 investigation in Zionist hands. So, of course, if you're gonna have a big Jewish operation, you better make sure you've got Jewish investigators.
They're not going to come to the conclusions that suit their agenda, though, are they?
No. They did a lot of homework, and they determined that indeed jet fuel brought down the towers and
kerosene.
Kerosene, yeah. It's basically, that's what jet fuel is kerosene, and
made it all the way to the bottom, eh?
Yep. Building 7 that wasn't even hit by a plane fell at free fall speed, and then a huge pyroclastic cloud came. That was all from damage it got from the North Tower, apparently. That was the story they were floating on that day. But it was a lot of BS.
We've talked about it before, but the nuclear mini nuke capabilities of doing damage like that. This technology is Israeli as well. They do have this technology. Everybody knows that. That's why the weapons inspectors never get in there. I mean, to have all of the United Nations stand down for little Israel and not send inspectors in there to see what kind of weapons these people have. But they go in and lie about Iraq and lie about all these countries. They send the weapons inspectors in there immediately.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is just massive.
I've seen that again. How many times have we mentioned that? And people need to know that the United Nations say no. No one is to go into Israel and have a look at what they have. You know, they got all sorts of stuff going on in there.
The last person to send nuclear weapons inspectors into Israel was JFK.
There you go. He was looking into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't want them to have that power. You know.
So when I talk about there being a direct historical path from Dealey Plaza to New York on 9/11, it's the Israeli nuclear weapon program.
And you wonder if 9/11 was organized back to Kennedy, if it goes that far back, you know?
I've heard the planning for it was late 80s, early 90s, I think. And by the late 90s, they were they had it all teed up and they were chomping at the bit. That's when PNAC surfaced. But I heard it was 20-plus years in the making.
It's... I'm looking at the rise of the U.S. surveillance state and the Jews behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're thinking the Patriot Act as well, which we kind of have that here. The drone assassinations, the military detentions through Bush was all through his Jewish Zionist enablers. All these fabricated crises and, you know, all this stuff going on, coming directly from places like Tel Aviv to the neighborhoods of the United States without the general public in America knowing about these covert counterintelligence operations, you know, being slammed over the head of American society and all these wars America are fighting abroad. For who, really? And what's being brought back home to Americans you know?
These multi-trillion-dollar wars, yeah.
I know that the Jews are very heavily involved in drones and the technology that are going into them. And you know, just to look at Google and Facebook and all this alone, and the spying going on, you know, it's pretty deep stuff. And, you know, the CIA and all these intelligence agencies, this is all technology. We know where it comes from now. And we know who's handling our so-called prime ministers and presidents.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And okay, so we'll just go down these names real quick here to kind of wrap things up. Alvin Hellerstein, he was a judge, and he basically thwarted any sort of legal challenge that was gonna arise. Hellerstein's court pretty much stamped out the legal remedy. That's why you can't depend on the legal system to bail you out.
No. You know,
it's a rubber stamp for the Jews, basically.
It's just fake. You get taken to a fake pre-set up court of law, don't you? Where the situation is all predetermined.
It's a dog and pony show, folks.
You think you have rights, you know?
It's all a melodrama. So that you buy into the BS, yeah.
So this is Alvin K. Hellerstein, a judge for the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York.
Yep.
And involved in several high-profile 9/11-related causes, including a master case against three airlines.
Yep. Yeah, he squashed all this.
God.
If this would have happened, it would have come out in court. Oh, really? Would it have... Yeah, and then Mike Mukasey, he was an Orthodox Jewish judge who oversaw the litigation between Silverstein and the insurance companies after 9/11, in which Silverstein was awarded billions. He got double indemnity. And Mukasey prevented a full inquiry into the five dancing Israelis who were arrested on 9/11 and played a role in their release. He was later appointed Attorney General by Bush, and he defended the Patriot Act, and he supports torture policies.
Torture policies.
And, you know, then Michael Chertoff's name's there. You know, we've talked about him, and then
I saw those groups. Saw those groups as well, Don, in some news links in the United States, in Chicago, where you are, in places where they. They have these safe houses or wherever, you know, and could be in factories and old places where they black bag over the head and they take people there. And, you know, they're taken and tortured and...
These CIA black sites, yeah.
Yeah, black operation site. Yeah, CIA black sites, yeah, where they just take people and As I said, they could be industrial areas. You would never know, you know? That's really scary.
See, that's how this thing works.
Yeah.
And then, Mike Chertoff, we only talked about him. And then there's Ken Feinberg. We've talked about him, but we'll just mention here that he set up the Victims Compensation Fund, $7 billion, controlled by a Zionist cabal. It managed to get 97% of the victims' families to settle out of court. He bribed them. He paid them off in exchange for their dropping demands of a legal investigation into 9/11.
Is this Feinberg?
Kenneth Feinberg. Yep.
Feinberg. Yeah, I love these names. Feinberg. Chertoff. They got interesting names, these Zionists.
Hellerstein.
Steen and Goldberg. And, it's a classic.
Ruby.
Zuckerberg. And
it's fairly obvious who's who.
Abrams. It's a classic. What names?
It's in your face, and
it's crazy.
And then we got Sheila Birnbaum.
So just to go back there quickly, this is all about compensation funds. So they were the actual families were sort of maneuvered or steered into
take the money.
They offered them, and so they say they clearly managed that as well.
Yeah, there was Feinberg told one of the families, we need to move past 9/11. Take the award, live out your days.
I guess a lot of them would have said, fair enough, I'm disturbed. That was horrible. I don't want to think about it again. Yeah.
Some of these families were so pissed, and they were fighting so hard for a long time. But you realize the uphill, when you talk about uphill battle, suing the government over 9/11. See, one reason I was attacked a couple of years ago was they're like, are you going to court with this nuke evidence? And I said, we don't talk about our plans in public, but, just suffice it to say that, it takes a lot of resources, if you're going to do something like that. And I am not a man of expansive resources. I guess we'll just put it that way. So I throw the info out there, and I let people do what they will with it.
You really need big law firms to take up that stuff, don't you?
Once
you get them involved and it hits the mainstream a little bit more, the nuke evidence, because that's all you would be doing, displaying pretty clear, nuke evidence, and with your work on nuke physics and how that all happened, and you get some big law firms to sort of say, what went on here? We want some of these questions answered. You wonder, but I can't see it happening. God, there's some power here.
Yeah, there really is. Yeah. So if you're going to take on the legal system, boy, you're really running into a buzzsaw.
Maybe they don't care about us, Don, at the end of the day, down here.
They probably have. We had that conversation. I'm like, well, I do free podcasts and, the blog is free and I've got a certain amount of readership, but it's really a drop in the bucket, compared to what, the mainstream Jewish media is, dwarfs me, So I, on a certain level, I'm not really a huge threat to them because most people that I talk to don't want to listen to any of this.
Do you think this Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks and stuff, the information they're getting out, do you think this is all controlled as well? It's obvious that the public need this sort of Robin Hood type characters to look up to. The average man sees, Edwin Snowden's on the run and all this, and the CIA are after him. I can't see it happening, but
even if he is the real deal, face it.
I can't see they wouldn't get him. It just implies to me, Don, that the information is pretty heavy that he releases. He has released some pretty unbelievable documents, but that would sort of make me think that they're way ahead of that. That if they're releasing that sort of material, they're already they're not bothered with it,
Yeah.
The plan has been implemented so far ahead in the future,
It's not going to do any real damage to their agenda.
And we latch onto it and think, wow,
Yeah, there is truth tellers. Yeah, it kind of reinforces your faith in this system. which is, I mean, as we can see, this is just rotten to the core here. You know, I mean, there's no, see, the average person doesn't want to think, oh, everything is rotten and corrupt. They don't want to admit that. You know, no amount of data you throw at them is going to change their tune either, let me tell you.
Is it cunning if they are, you know? I mean, I still have trouble believing that Alex Jones would be a front for Jewish intelligence, you know?
Yeah,
you think, God, because so much of what he says is pretty, seems honest, and you look it up, it is, I think those guys glamorize news stories to sell products because they are making money.
That's sort of number one. I mean, over at InfoWars, I think that's the number one thing on the agenda is, you know, cash in. And if you're cashing in, you've almost got to have tacit approval of the Jewish power structure. They would shut him down.
It's deeply cunning, isn't it?
It is. See, they know that. I think Alex Jones is like a backstop for him. They know that NBC and CBS and ABC, they're all losing massive amounts of credibility.
Yeah.
So we got to have a plan B, and here comes, you know, InfoWars, and they tell quite a bit of, yeah, like you said, I mean, they come out with some pretty good info.
They do, really do, yeah.
But it's that last 5 or 10% that will kind of give you the swerve.
You wonder if they have to do that in order to even operate. You know?
See, that's it, there. I mean, when you look at Alex...
But that means you're compromised, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, if he's making a good living,
I haven't listened to his show in a couple of years, but I'm sure you could do this. Try this at home. The next time you listen to Alex Jones, just get out a notepad or, you know, even a piece of paper and a pen and jot down all the guests that come on the show, and then go look up how many of these guys are Jewish. And then when the commercials go on, write down the name of each sponsor and then find out how many of them are Jewish. And it's like 80%.
So the guy's being allowed to operate, really.
Of course he is, yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
I'm like, okay, Steve Shank, I think he dumped him, but Steve Shank was a big Jew. That Marty Schachter with the 5-star soap, you know, he's a big Jew. Edward Group with all the iodine and all this other stuff. Yeah, he's a big Jew.
Well, Alex Jones has always blamed Saudi Arabia and the United States for 9/11.
Okay. How many Saudis have you been talking about here in the
always
last?
Always the Saudis.
Oh, yeah, Saudi. Yeah.
I would assume there's a lot of corruption going on there in that kingdom, and there's a lot of money being dished out.
Of course, to certain
projects, but it's crazy. It's crazy stuff. But you know, I will say he does have some good stuff. He has some interesting things. He seems to be. I mean, Donald Trump was on his show, which was strange.
So it makes you. Well, I think Trump's trying to reach a certain amount of. I mean, who listens to Alex Jones? You know, it's white guys in their 20s and 30s and 40s. You know.
He does report now on a lot of stuff happening in Europe. What's going on there? Others aren't. So I'll give him that, you know. But
okay, if your choice is Rachel Maddow or Alex Jones, you know, you listen to Alex. You know, I mean, but you know, not that I'm trying to be the replacement for Alex Jones or anything. Yeah.
He's a definite sensationalist. I mean, I even read some of his stories and I think, my God, but you go to the original link and it's not that at all. You know, it's sensationalism through headlines and beefing things up and selling products, you know? I mean, it's massive. The InfoWars store is huge, but he has great products, no doubt about it. I can see why they're popular. But, you know, he's running a machine and making money.
Yep.
Free market, I guess, type scenario, which is his thing, well, I guess. I don't know.
Is it?
You wonder.
I don't believe in a free market.
Okay. Yeah, not anymore, really.
It never did exist. It was always this. You know, we probably do a whole show on that, too.
I have talked about it with John Friend. I mean, Donald Trump was talking about that, bringing industry back to America and American jobs.
Yes. That's another reason.
I can't see why it can't be done. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of hurt. Well, if you can implement those changes, but why can't you make things in the U.S. again? You know, why can't that industry be brought back there? You know, Why can't they make phones there? I like how he's saying that, you know?
We can. It's just that it won't. It's not allowed to happen.
It's ridiculous. I mean, come on. But at least he's talking about it, Trump. I've heard that.
That's one reason they hate him. The other reason, this planned destruction of the European people due to immigration, they're trying to just blend us out of existence.
Oh, yeah, in broad daylight.
It's an invasion. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the stuff I've been reading lately, this is the flood of the serpent, you know, from the book of Revelation.
It's staggering. That's horrifying. What
this is of biblical proportions.
This is unlike anything I've seen. I think this is one of the turning points in the history of man.
Yeah, Revelation talks about how the woman who is, you know, the children of Israel, that's white European people, will be nourished with the gospel for 1260 years, and then after that there'll be this flood of the serpent to destroy her. And that's what we're seeing right now, is all these third world populations flooding us from the mouth of the serpent. Who's behind these immigration policies? Well, the international Jew. And
it's really scary. Don, there's just an article out of Red Ice. Germany non-white in one generation.
Yep.
An ongoing third world invasion of Germany will create a non-white majority in the 20 to 30-year-old age group within just 4 years.
Yes, that's how, yep. And it's the planned destruction of the European people.
It's, that's, yeah, jeez.
You know, and who's behind these immigration policies, you know?
Did you see the 60 Minutes Australia going to Sweden? Because, you know...
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that on YouTube, yeah.
I would give them their credit because they did actually go there to Sweden to do a story on the Swedish side to show what's going on there, the crime and everything. But I think they also wanted to sort of put out a sob story for the invaders. And they went to Sweden and got attacked. I mean, their camera guy got run over. And then they went to some of the main towns and stuff there, just general Swedish towns, and were viciously assaulted and spat on and abused and punched. It was amazing to see that. I mean, they were quite shocked and horrified. I don't think they expected that at all. And in Sweden, in Stockholm, you know, and you're looking at the streets and they're all lined up, all these blacks with hoods on. They're troublemakers. That's just horrifying to see Sweden in such a dire straits. If that's not a warning for the whole planet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm part Swedish, and it makes me sick to my stomach.
Oh, my God, for you to see that. Yeah, you would not expect that in Sweden. I mean, to see a camera crew go in and be kicked and attacked and run over and spat on and assaulted, you know, right in the middle of the day. And she spoke to a Swedish man who said, "You've been here for not even 10 minutes and you've been run over and attacked."
Yeah.
And he's like, imagine coming there at night, you know? I mean...
You know, I've heard now a lot of Swedish women now are dyeing their hair black to avoid getting raped.
Yeah, yeah. That's all. Also made it to the mainstream news here as well. Almost all German cities, there's been reported rapes, gang rapes, assaults.
Yeah, off the charts, yes. Yeah, Stockholm is now the rape capital of the world.
And none of them are Syrian. You know, they're just invaders. They're standing there in leather jackets and nice designer jeans and mobile phones. And you're like, oh, my God. They're opportunists.
Yeah.
They just take
it. And it's the flood of the serpent, you know, and it's going to go on for a while. And then the next stop in the book of Revelation is the fall of Babylon. Eventually we should talk about that maybe next time.
Yeah.
I did a post on that where this whole Jewish financial system is eventually going to collapse. And that will be the fall of Babylon.
God. Yeah, it's... My goodness.
So we certainly live in very interesting times.
I've just... To watch that is staggering. It's... I mean, Europe in itself and you know, and what's just happened in Brussels, and now that they've got a foothold in there and been let in and armed and funded by you-know-who, there's going to be attacks all over Europe. And,
yeah.
And then what's going to happen is, you know, the European people are going to have nothing else to do but rise up, and then there's going to be this fight, and that's how they conquer nations, you know, set everyone against each other when they should never have been allowed in the first place. But now they're in, it's a massive problem. Germany in itself has been changed forever.
Forever,
you know. And they've always, you know, I mean, this is, if you look at it, it's diabolical. What a way to bring down a nation like Germany, just flood them with this, you know.
It's almost hard to deny the satanic aspect of all of this.
To do what they did to them, as out of Tom's book, Hellstorm, you know, and then now look at that. It's crazy.
Remember, folk, everybody, Hitler was gassing the Jews and putting them in the oven. But remember, Judea declared war on Germany back in 1933.
Yeah.
Did we ever get a ceasefire from those folks? No. It's been a steady... Why are the German people allowing this? Well, they've been... I look a lot of them on as being victimized by this satanic system, you know, and
brainwashed. They're still there on the news the other night, going that they want more to come in, and that they're not getting a fair go and to treat them right.
Immigrant rights, you know.
And now the government's giving all this money to mosques.
Yeah, we gotta
German schools and their kids, you know.
Dad, it's disgusting. It really is.
It really is horrifying. And now they're calling for more money for welfare. And now they're saying that the UK must let them all in, the hordes of them. Which Cameron will, being a spineless piece of crap that he is, David Cameron. Pedophile as well. I'm convinced
I've heard
of it.
That too.
His top advisor was busted for child pornography, David Cameron. So he's another one. Yeah, they're unbelievable.
it's the same thing just over and over.
The UK is gone, mate. It is a sunken ship. It's finished.
London was a white city for thousands of years.
Beautiful,
I mean, look at the architecture in Europe.
Unbelievable.
I mean, ancient castles. Yeah.
But that's why I said, you know, you look at these average scene on a Swedish street in Stockholm. These beautiful streets and coffee shops and waterways and things going on around, and all these black people lined up and down the street as far as the eye can see. And then cameras being punched and kicked, and these shady individuals sliming around at night everywhere. It's horrible.
Yeah, with these invaders present, you know that all this architecture has got a very short shelf life. It's going to all go down at some point. Look at Detroit. You know, when your population turns from 90% white to 13% white, all of it, the infrastructure, the buildings, they all collapse.
This is a fast way to speed it up, isn't it? Just the destruction of a culture. Just bring them down so quickly, this will. It's already such a burden in Sweden on their financial system and their welfare, you know, and the poor average Swede is working his ass off to pay for this.
Everybody, the healthcare costs in the United States are through the roof. Well, yeah, we're getting full health coverage to all the illegal aliens.
That's what I'm saying. But the costs for you are going to go through the roof, and then
you're paying them to reproduce. So you're paying to wipe yourself out. That's the situation the white race is in now. We're paying for our own destruction.
It's I was trying to find that comment by the German guy in the government there. I'll have a look for it anyway. I did put up about the soldiers of Odin emerging in Sweden and several other countries in Europe patrolling the streets in Sweden. Which is a good idea. Oh, yeah, it was head of Germany's extreme left calls native Germans Nazis and their extinction fortunate.
Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah. I've seen him on YouTube. Yeah, that's... Yeah. I mean, it's...
Getting rid of white people. Geisy, yeah, Jewish ancestry. So he's a Jew in Germany calling on the open extinction of the German people.
Yeah,
I mean, the Germans are taking that. That is disgusting.
Some of them are, some of them aren't.
There's
massive rallies in Germany against immigration. I mean, nobody in the public, I mean, oh, I live in a democracy. Oh, really? Who voted for any of this? You know, nobody voted for any of this shit. Hey, we want open borders. We want our jobs exported. We want degeneracy. We want pornography. You know, we want Sarah Silverman. Yeah, we want Larry Silverstein. He's just as obscene. Yeah. No, nobody voted for any of that garbage.
Certainly not Merkel. There's some good changes happening. I think Merkel's gone, and I've seen some pretty tough ladies over there in Germany coming out, and obviously independent parties. But when you've got an attorney who's a Jew getting up in Germany and calling the German people Nazis and calling for their extinction, calling it fortunate, that is a shocking state of affairs, indeed, with all that's going on. And, you know, it's unbelievable to see this human filth say something like that. It's just sickening. You know,
that, yeah,
it's toilet it, bug.
It's, yep.
You know? And who the hell does this piece of crap think he is to get up there and say something like that? Fortunate.
Yeah.
You know? This is an extinction, unless it's stopped. But I'm hoping there's going to be big changes. I've heard there is. Thomas Goodridge said that. There's big changes happening in Germany. And I think when those changes do come, Don, why not round them up and get them out?
Well,
if they're not working and they're not contributing, I can't see why they can't get them out. Yeah.
You know, the Bible talks about all these people pretty much just dying in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do a whole show on that. And a guy I've been listening to a lot lately is Bill Fink over at Christogenia.org. And so I kind of took my foot off the gas on the conspiracy theory to do some Bible study, you know. Not that you're going to be able to, and Fink talks about, hey, look, these prophecies aren't there so we can see the future. It's so when it happens, you can tell that this is all kind of part of the plan. And you can see certain events coming. Now, can I predict dates, times, places? No, I'm not I don't see the future.
Ideas there.
Yeah, but yeah, I like to go by, okay, I'm at mile marker 14, you know, and I'm at 15. No, here's the next exit, you know. That's kind of what I'm looking for. Like, where are we on the road here? Where's this thing headed? And
it's my goodness. Yeah, it was something bound to happen, wasn't it? That flood into Europe. They've been itching to do that. and the big Jewish rabbis have already stated that, didn't they? They openly stated it that they wanted to flood Europe with dark skinned races to breed with the Europeans to breed them out.
Yeah, they want to get rid of white Christianity.
That's common knowledge.
Yeah, you know? they prefer, and Islam is a Jewish religion.
Yeah.
Muhammad had a bunch of Jewish wives. You know, he married a rich Jewish widow. She was the wife of a merchant. So.
God, I guess we can finish up our 9/11 thing before we plug out today. I think we're at Henry Kissinger anyway.
It all ties together, though.
Everything.
Yeah, we talked about Ken Feinberg and then Sheila Birnbaum, quick, another Keyes Zionist in the cover-up. She worked at the Birnbaum. She's of the Skadon and Arps law firm, yeah.
God, law firms.
Yep, Jewish law firms.
And we're gonna have to do a whole show just on the security issues of 9/11 because that's really fascinating. That's amazing. That's so big. I tried to go through it one day. It was just impossible. right through to the airport and
Kroll and Associates. Yeah, I've done some work on that.
You don't just get planes being hijacked on and flying around American airspace with hijackers with box cutters.
You can't fly hijacked planes around. That's
right. Anyway,
I never did. I don't know what I was thinking. I had my head up my ass for 3 years after 9/11.
Yeah.
I'll admit it publicly. I kind of went along with the official version. I just figured, Bush sucked. That's why they got away with it. It didn't really dawn on me until August of 2004. And I remember it. I heard Dave Von Kleist with George Norrie, and he started talking about what the plane was doing, and I went, yeah, that's bullshit. Yep.
Come
okay,
on.
Okay, it's time to wake up. You've been sleeping for 3 years. Okay, no more hitting the snooze button. You better look into this. So
I guess the event in itself with the people dying in the buildings is so horrendous that, you know, most of the people get drained away thinking about that instead of what's really going on, the mechanics behind it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you're not really worried about the planes or anything. You're just thinking, jeez, could that happen to the trade centers, you know? I guess that's what they rely on.
Yep. Okay, we'll just wrap it up with, Henry Kissinger. He was originally going to be the...
Did you mention Philip Zelikow?
Yeah, Philip Zelikow was the head of the 9/11 commission. He was
commission gatekeeper.
Yeah. He specialized in the creation and maintenance of public myths. And that's Zelikow was tapped after they wanted to put Henry Kissinger in there, but that was just too obvious, and there was an outcry about that, so Henry got his walking papers, and Zelikow was the guy that put out the fable of 9/11.
And so it says here they managed to omit any references at all to the collapse of Building 7.
that wasn't part of the script. Yeah, you weren't supposed to know about
just
that.
Building falling over, you know, no reason.
Yeah. So yeah, the title of this blog post was, if you hear this on iTunes or, you know, a buddy sends it to you, it's Summary of Jews Involved in the 9/11 Nuclear Terrorist Attack. Yeah. And as Adam mentioned, at donaldfox.wordpress.com. If you go to the archive section, it's in the February, depending on when you listen to this. You can find it in the archives.
Yeah.
In February of 2016. And I got this. This is pretty much, I got it from Wiki Spooks. And what I did was I just cleaned up some of their typos and whatnot.
Yeah.
I figured, hey, this is a good, just kind of a cursory overview of kind of a who's who. Who were the players involved? You know, and obviously we didn't hit everybody, but.
Got Henry Kissinger here.
Yep.
God. He was appointed as executive director. He did. It says here that he did bail out after protest, but they tried to slip him in, get him out of his coffin, you know, pull him out of his coffin, dust him off.
He's still out and about. It's hard to believe.
Disgusting war criminal, man. God, I hope, Don, there's a special place in hell for that guy, mate. Can there be?
Yeah, he's one of the most evil men that's ever lived.
Maybe he'll go to that place of the sea of shit, you know. He'll be up the front with all the pedophiles saying, don't make waves.
Yeah, I think he's bound. He's going to be headed to the Lake of Fire.
The Sea of Feces, maybe?
He is certainly deserving.
Buried up to their heads, yeah. Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable character. You know, go back to the Augusto Pinochet regime in Chile, starting in the 70s, and you see Henry Kissinger there. With Bush Sr., you know, there he is at the table of death, you know.
Kissinger was poking around the Kennedy White House.
Yeah, right back. People don't realize. It goes way back in history. You can see
how far
there.
Back
yeah.
this guy go.
Yeah, God damn, man.
JFK thought he was a creep, and he booted him out.
Ugh.
Kissinger was supposed to be his handler, but JFK would have none of it and kicked him to the curb.
Damn.
Yeah.
So there's the finish up bit here about Zelikow.
Yeah, Phil
Zelikow. Insider. So he was in with Condoleezza Rice, National Security Council for George Bush administration. Bush. Herbert Walker. There you go. So many of them, isn't there? And then you talk. Of course, you've included Rice and Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz again, all fellow members, yeah. Jesus. And a lot of these people sit on the, have all these big shares in these weapons manufacturers as well. So,
war is great business for them as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they're all into the new technology side of things with the drone attacks and that, you know, have all shares and making money off there. God.
Yeah, it's kind of staggering when you step back and look at it. I mean,
it's just
because people are like, well, if there was a conspiracy, you know, people would talk about it. Well, they talk about it amongst themselves. This isn't stuff that's supposed to be aired out for the goyim to go over, you know. This isn't supposed to be, you know, stuff where we're not supposed to be privy to this, you know. And most people won't spend the time to kind of piece it together. So I figured, yeah, why not? It's worth doing a blog post of just, you know, here's kind of the who's who, you know.
Yeah, gives people at least a rough idea.
Yeah.
There. But as I said, yeah, it goes, it's a deep rabbit hole. You just keep tumbling. As I said, on its surface, 9/11, it seems so silly, doesn't it, the official story? It's almost comical,
you know,
with
is,
the passports and everything.
It doesn't withstand even cursory
nothing.
Scrutiny. Yeah, even it's just not physically possible.
With the Arabs, but I mean, you start to look into the physics of it and how the buildings were able to go, and then you start finding out all this stuff, you know, with your work on the nuclear side, and then you start finding out, well, how was, you know, who has nukes and who enabled that, and then you start thinking, well, an operation like this, you can't just do that. That implies decades, possibly, of planning,
yeah.
You know, and you're saying, okay, well, that also implies that there's, you know, you're talking about billions of dollars being pumped into this, and then you're looking at, as we said,
They're trying to say what Muhammad Atta had, what, $200,000 to do 9/11? Yeah, come on. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Looking at all the people involved, as we said, the port authorities and the airports and the money involved and the airplanes.
Yeah,
and
the security
cover-ups. Yeah,
the lawyers,
putting
the
all
judge.
These power players and the judges, the controlling the official reports and the news controlling that as it went out, you know, all being fed from only one place, you know.
How big was Hellerstein's payoff under the table, you think? I mean, how much money, you know, $200,000 wouldn't even get you started in that conversation. I mean, come on, just Hellerstein alone was more than that. They handed out, if they're handing out $7 billion to the goyim, you know, how much money was floating around the power structure? Well, Silverstein got like $4 billion, which a lot of that ended up back in Tel Aviv.
Well, that's lollies for him. That's just a nice little payoff, you know?
Yeah, so what were the people getting behind the scenes? If Ken Feinberg was doling out $7 billion, who was really cashing in? You know, that's a good question, because they make money. You know, now, 9/11 wasn't just about cashing in. I mean, obviously, these guys, they run the Federal Reserve and all the banks. They can create money out of thin air. They've got that ability. So, I mean, but as long as they're at it, they're going to cash in. But I think the real purpose, I think, behind 9/11 was to send a message out that, hey, we're in charge, and, you know, what you think, what you see on TV, that government is completely subservient to us. We own it. We run it. And if you got a problem with that, we'll bowl you over. We will take you out.
It's amazing. I always wonder, you know, with the mainstream media as well, you get these reporters up there, attractive women as well, just reporting this crap, you know?
Yep,
there's a guy on YouTube has an interesting video saying this short clip proves that all the media is controlled, and he basically goes through a big news story that happened in the US to all the morning shows, you know, breakfast shows, night news, and they're all reporting saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You wouldn't know that in each state that you're in. You'd have to have people ring you, but this guy intelligently, you've probably seen that clip, goes through and puts them all together, and I've noticed that just on... several channels when there's a story or just general daily news. They're all the same.
Yeah, everybody thinks these news organizations are independent.
And they're all saying the same thing, exactly the same thing every day.
Like they're in a choir being, you know, directed.
And these people, they have no morals, no dignity, shame.
Sellout.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and they get up there and they just, we've all seen, if you watch Outfoxed, we all know Rupert Murdoch.
Murdoch.
And how he controls and dominates there. I mean, you do what you're told and that's what you report, or you don't have a job. You know, that's what they do. It's unbelievable. But these people, as you said, they're sellout. It amazes me sometimes, you know.
Well, I think the end is in sight, though, for the Jewish empire, because it's so financially corrupt, you know, and we can do a whole show on that next time. We'll go down, you know, we'll talk about credit default swaps and, you know, mortgage-backed securities and all that. Yeah, we'll do a whole... do a whole show on that stuff.
They've been exposed in the presidential campaign for the elections in the US. I've seen actual where they were all doing a live debate and some of them were pointing to the media and having a go at them, and Donald Trump do that as well. He just points at all the media along the back wall and he says, "You're all a bunch of scumbags," you know?
That is one thing about Trump. I mean, even if he doesn't go anywhere, and we talked about this on the new JFK show. He has destroyed the Republican Party.
It's the game has changed now.
Yeah, it needed to be destroyed, and it has been. It was corrupt. It was rotten.
It exactly. We talked about that on one show. Yeah, that the media. I think in this country, and I can see in the US, they've with Obama being in power and Bush and everything for so long, they've had it good for so long. And they've become so complacent and non-caring, and they just have this smart-ass, sarcastic way of dealing with the public who are trying to find out what the hell's going on here. And this media have become so nasty and so dirty and corrupt that they just don't care anymore. And have Trump get up there and call them out, you know, it's really good to see.
It is. I mean, the mass media has been, you know, the legacy.
They're horrible. They're so bad.
They've been declining. People know on an instinctual level.
Thank God. I can't take it.
I know. I can't ever listen. I can't watch.
It's unbearable.
I used to be a news hound. I can't. I read my local paper. I'll see if there's any stories going on. I don't even click on most of the links.
So slimy and smart, aren't they? And they just think they're so safe, you know?
I pretty much stick to the sports and the weather section. If I read any part of the local paper, you know, it's just too disgusting and depressing to read.
Oh, you should read our papers, man. You wouldn't bear it for a second. They're so bad. They're so bad.
Yeah.
The Murdoch papers, you know, in Australia.
Oh, okay. Murdoch, you just know you're getting a load of bullshit. Well, you
own 70% of our printed press. Pretty much 5-6 of the main biggest papers in Australia are Murdoch papers. And you go online and you see them all. They're all exactly the same. And he hires these freelance sort of columnists. And they just bounce from paper to paper writing utter nonsense and propaganda and rubbish. And it's really nasty. And I can't understand why the Australian people buy into it. $2 a pop. You add that up a year. I can't understand why they're still buying into it and supporting this when they show nothing but utter disregard and discontempt and nastiness towards the Australian people through these papers. They're absolutely vicious and disgusting what they're doing. They're traitors.
Yeah, they hate their intended audience.
They hate us. And these people are going every day and they're buying Murdoch papers. And we want to see these papers stuffed back down the toilet. Because, you know, anyone can go and stick their head in a toilet and you're probably going to find better articles down there than what these columnists in the Murdoch papers print, you know? And they can't even spell. I mean, they're these young women, Don, in general, like young, quite attractive women, and they can't spell. They can't seem to write like these are not, I wouldn't call them columnists. They're not newspaper articles and they're not... they don't seem educated in any way. You know, that is not printed press for me, you know, at all. You know, and it's really sad how low it's become. You know, because I would have thought an investigative reporter for a newspaper would go out and at least print some truth or try and get some good articles out there. You know, but these people, it's just absolute nonsense what they're writing. It's really sad, actually, and unreadable. You know, and I'm thinking, if you get a Trump president in the US, I'm kind of wondering, I'm hoping that that will ricochet onto us, and we're going to get a change here in our government. But also I'm wondering what will happen with the printed media, with the printed press in the US, if they're going to have to sort of smarten up there, and if you're going to get new guys coming in and changing the game a bit, you know?
I'm hearing out of Europe, they're really pulling for Trump, because they think that, hey, if Trump gets in there and builds a wall in the US, then there's going to be enough impetus behind the scenes to get this done and, you know, get Europe squared away.
It's going to be a big thing. I mean, that's going to be a massive historical event, isn't it, to see a wall go up like that? It's going to be something very different to see indeed.
Yeah, East Germany, I mean, they probably missed the Berlin Wall now, don't they? I mean, look at what you got instead, you know?
You can't just have Mexico there so open. You know, I'm sorry. I've heard
25% of Mexico has moved into the United States.
Yeah, well, a lot of them see the United States as Mexican land, almost motherland.
Well, it is now.
California, not good.
California has been basically, you know, a few years ago I heard if California was its own country, it would be the fifth largest economy in the world. Just California, and look at what they're doing to that state. You know, I mean, it's Los Angeles now isn't Los Angeles anymore. I mean, you compare Los Angeles from 1960 to 2015 or 2016. I mean, come on, what happened?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I mean, our cities here are starting to collapse now. I think next up on deck, I think Detroit has collapsed. You know, much like Building 7, you know, at free fall speed. And I think next on deck, you've got Chicago, where you've got a majority, I think it's about 85% black. And you got a Jewish mayor.
Oh, and Chicago's had cancer for God.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a corrupt town for a long time, but now.
Just blame the Italians, though, Don. The Italian mafia. Yeah.
Italian mafia. Yeah, that was the problem.
Ah, bloody Sicilians.
You're gonna see Chicago collapse. You're gonna see Baltimore collapse. We know if you have a city of a million people that's 95% white, or 2 million people, you've got a booming, beautiful metropolis. Now you take that same city and you get rid of all the white people and you replace them with non-white, it all collapses. The infrastructure goes gone. Electricity, rolling blackouts, I mean, it all goes away.
Getting that on the mainstream media news actually here about South Africa now.
South Africa.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster. And Zimbabwe did the same thing. And, you know, the white farmers have all been persecuted and moved out. These savage blacks are going in and killing people, you know, and the government's doing nothing about it.
The blacks are upset at white people for starving to death, and yet then they go and they kill all the white farmers.
They're running through Africa with machetes, hacking up villages, women and children to death, and these people, you want to let them all into Europe with no checks? I mean, this is savagery at its most primitive level.
Yeah, these migrants are, you know, 80% male. Fighting age.
These fighting in some of these African nations, you see them going through these villages to villages, just hacking people to pieces.
Yep.
They got no shoes. They can't string a sentence together. They're as black as blackstrap molasses, you know, and they got these brand new, you know, machine guns, and you're thinking, well, who's pumping that into the countries, you know?
Full clip, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you give a monkey, a handgun, Don, unloaded with a clips. You know, eventually they're going to put the clips in, you know, and they're going to load it and they're going to take the safety off and they're going to shoot themselves in the head, you know, eventually, you know, quite a process to watch that take place. But Crazy stuff. I was just sort of, before we plug out as well, that one that Lana put up at Red Ice as well, just on the Mexican front, it was on St. George and the White Hall. That was really unbelievable and insulting for the Americans. I don't know how they why they take that, these TV shows. Did you see that?
It was I did not see that, no.
Yeah, it was that show with St. George. I think his name is George Lopez. He's a Mexican actor.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And they've got this show where he's very successful, and he's basically got this white wife, and the whole time in the show she just gets called a whore and insulted, and Americans are sitting down every night and laughing at this, you know, and there's all sorts of shows like that where they're openly insulting the average American, like Homer Simpson does, you know, big, fat, dumb, and stupid, you know, and they're laughing at that, and they're all Jewish producers, and they're making fun of the American people at their expense, and the Americans are paying for it. And I just don't think that St. George is a funny show at all. I think it's horribly insulting and terrible, and I think the Americans should lynch these guys and kick them out of the country, as traitors.
I mean, it's open season on Whitey. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
You got that machete guy, you know, the Mexican actor, you know, hates Americans.
Absolutely, yeah. They won't live anywhere else. I mean, they come flooding in here, but
they come into your country and act like that.
Yeah,
and
then they absolutely hate you.
They hate you, and then they make TV shows and openly display it. And, that was a very good report from Red Ice. Great job on Lana's behalf to because I'd never seen that show, but I watched the clips, and wow. You think Americans, because that would not be allowed here. I'm telling you, that show would not be allowed here in Australia at all. That was nasty show.
Hey, our TV networks are so Jewish.
We just don't get them here. They try to, and then they last a week, these sitcoms, and they just don't make it here. And that's what's a good thing. We're more sort of sports orientated here, which is not a bad thing. I like my sports. So
I do too. And
it's pretty much sports in Australia.
Although I don't watch as much sports as I used to, but you know, I know football, I know basketball, I know baseball.
At least it's people playing, getting out there and playing live sports, and you know, it's better than these terrible shows. You know, they're just nasty and vindictive, and they're full of pornography now.
Yeah,
hardcore pornography. These just general sitcoms that are on at 7 o'clock night. Yeah,
it's all degeneracy.
The wording, it's unbelievable. Yeah, shit jokes, you know, pooing on people jokes and urinating on people jokes and jism and penis jokes. And you're just like, oh, my God, is this what Americans are watching every night?
Yeah, you know, it's like Howard Stern is now on every channel.
God. Oh, my God. Oh, that guy makes me feel ill.
Yeah, he's a talk about a filthy Jew.
Oh, that guy is despicable, man. He never made it in Australia, thank God.
Yeah, 20 years ago, I was a big Howard Stern fan, and I thought he was funny as hell. Now, there's days where he's pretty funny. There's no question about that. And he gets some pretty big-name guests, so it's worth tuning in. But I can't listen to Howard Stern anymore. I quit that, you know, 15, 18 years ago. I just couldn't do it anymore. And
did you ever see the one with Gary Busey?
No.
Don't know what you think of Gary Busey.
Gary's got some issues.
Yeah, he was on Howard Stern. It was very bizarre. I watched it on YouTube, and it ended. Then he went to the green room, and Stern was mocking him, and then he kept coming back onto the live set, and it just went on, and then it got a bit nasty. But I didn't know if they were mucking around. And then Busey called him a Jew.
Oh.
And then it seemed to get a bit ugly, and then he went out, and then there's a clip of Busey grabbing one of the producers or one of the camera guys or something and wrestling him and holding him in a headlock. And then he got him on the ground. It's pretty full on. And then he gets up and he's smiling and laughing and he kicks the doors and off he goes. What the hell? It was bizarre. But you never know with Stern what you're getting.
No.
You don't know with him.
Well, you know you're going to get a level of...
He's good at what he does. He's good at what he does.
He's the best at what he does. You know, there's no question about that.
But you guys get a lot of those. We don't have that here. You know, those chat shows. I know Letterman's very popular, but you get a lot of those...
Letterman's done now. He hung it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Letterman, though, was you had some intelligent discourse on that show. That was you would actually have conversations on that. I mean, Stern is you know, he's just... Jew.
MTV style.
Your morning Jew. You know, that's what you got, you know?
It's rubbish, though, isn't it?
It's all
pretty much.
Baba Booey. Baba Booey.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Well, we better plug out for the day, yep. Don. What do you reckon?
Okay. Yeah, when we're talking about Baba Booey, it's probably time to, to shut plug her out. Down.
Well, we don't want to get too serious. We want to mix in a few things, as we always do. We have no plans, do we, here? No preconceived ideas?
I'm like, we got to cover some material because people, I mean, if you tune into a Don Fox podcast, you want, I don't know if you want it, but you're going to get terror, death, destruction. So we'll end on a Baba Booey note, I guess, huh?
I think you guys are more direct on the real deal and the JFK show. So I think with my show, we can branch out a little bit as well, you know. Don't want to make it too serious for you because that stuff does your head in a little bit too. I mean, you guys cover a lot of serious ground on that show. Pretty heavy stuff. Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Fetzer's pretty full on. I mean, I listened to Fetzer and that guy does his homework. I mean, he is hard. The knowledge that guy has, 10 minutes of listening to him, you're like, what the hell? He just blurts out the most incredible information. I have to go and
check
it.
He does suck up a lot of knowledge. I mean, I'm on some of these email chains with him. I mean, we a lot of the stuff never hits the public.
It's I like the you had a bit of a change. He had a bit of a change there on the VTN, and I went on there. If you click the link, it takes you to a brand new website, and it looks really good. And I get some news off there, and there's all shows. All the shows are up there as well.
Oh yeah, he's on. He does the show. He's got the real deal.
That's VTN, right? VTN, isn't it?
No. Then he's also now he's on Rents. He does a show called The Raw Deal on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can download all these podcasts for free. And you can go to let's see. We'll just we'll give Jim Fetzer a plug here. He's kind of the guy that got me into the public research arena, and you can go to you can find all of his shows at radiofetzer.blogspot.com. You can just punch in Don Fox. There's a bunch of shows if you want to hear. We got shows going back to 2012. I've been on there.
When's your show? It's Fridays at 4.
That's when we record it. The new JFK shows will air on Wednesdays.
Oh, I pre-recorded like this and then uploaded.
Yeah, because and it's
easier. Isn't it? Yeah.
Well, my work schedule changed.
Yeah, it's much easier to do. Yeah. When you've got a live show waiting, it puts a lot of stress on you. Yeah.
We used to just do them live. It's only an hour. We got four guys. We should be able to, fill up an hour, and yeah, we did that, and now it's because my work schedule changed, and I'm working at nights now. So,
well, you're back at NORAD, are you?
I'm an IT guy, and now I'm working. So, I've got, I'm pretty much working 2 to 3 jobs and doing this stuff, and then I teach myself computer programming languages and.
Nice. Are you into developing websites or?
I've done that in the past, and I'm going to get back into it again.
I know, so many people want them built. It's good money.
Yeah, I'm picking up Java programming right now.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, it just does my head in. I'm basic knowledge on WordPress, but to go in and actually build the site and the plugins and all the work that gets done to make it. Pop out of you, jeez. I'd love to be able to do it.
Yeah. See, with me, okay, I never get anything right the first time. like, there's these people in life that you see them that they're just natural at everything. It's
just
like
good at
the
it,
first
yeah.
time they try something, hey, it works great. That's not how it works with me, not at all.
Sorry, I need to put a lot
I can
of
get
work
good
in.
At stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I can get good at things, but it's never the first go around, okay? It's always a complete failure and destruction the first 2 or 3 attempts at it. And then I get scorched, and then I learn from it. So, the failure really sticks with me.
Yeah.
And my life is always an uphill battle, barefoot, 2 feet of snow. It's uphill both ways. That's how I get things done. You know, eventually I get pretty good, but when I start out, it's always rough. And that's how it was with me and websites, where I got kind of thrown into it. Hey, can you figure this out? I'm like, yeah, I probably can. This is like 5-6 years ago. And you tweak and tweak and tweak, and it doesn't load, and boom, now it's working. And when it finally worked, God, that's a great feeling.
You put a lot of work, more than anyone I really know. I think people listen to your 9/11 information, and even go back to our first show on 9/11. I mean, that's nuclear physics. That's not something people just go and pick up, you know.
I ended up
that's full on stuff, you know. That does my head in.
Yeah, I maintain. You know, people are like, hey, "Are you in nuclear physics?" No, I'm a 9/11 researcher that studied nuclear physics because.
But that takes a lot of effort. I mean, I would sort of get to that wall and go, "Nah." Many people would not be able to handle that.
At the end of 2012 and the beginning of 2013 is when I really put the time on that. Yeah.
That's deep stuff, man.
In fact, the other day I was, you know, we could do quark talk. I was doing that at work. We, you know, at night sometimes it gets slow between calls or whatever. And, you know, I'll talk about, you know, hey, a proton is comprised of two up quarks and a down quark. And, all the guys I'm working with, they just...
You've lost me.
Yeah, they just chuckle because they know it's me now. And they're, you know, I actually do have fun and work hard, and I'm not that bad to be around. But, I mean, you hear these podcasts, and it's a lot of doom and gloom. And see, that's what I always said about me and Fetzer. I'm like, well, if you're going to get a Jim Fetzer, Don Fox show, it's going to be disturbing. Yeah. It's not fun, yeah. So I like coming on with Adam, and I miss Garth today. We'll have to drag him back next time.
Yeah, he'll be settled soon, hopefully.
Yeah, and I wish him well. I listen to the shows I do with you guys, and I'm like, you know, I sound better with Adam and Garth, I think, almost than I do myself. Because you kind of loosen me up a little bit. And
loosen those bolts a little bit.
Yeah.
A bit of oil under your arms, yeah.
Yeah, I'm wound up pretty tight, you know, on generally.
The Donanator.
Yep.
Yeah. No, well, that's the way it is. It's the way it is. Yeah, it's a lot of heavy information. So I think it does help to go through things, steer off a little bit, come back, steer off a little bit.
Come back.
Bring other stories in. We are able to do that here.
Yeah, we were like, hey, we're going to do an hour show, hour and a half. Well, we can't seem to do a less than 2 hour show. We just don't. I mean, I enjoy talking to you so much. That's why I almost like try to avoid you when we're not doing a show. Because hey, let's keep it fresh. Let's save it for the air. You know, I have all these conversations with my buddies, or I used to when I had more time. I'm like, you know, really, we should. I started telling them, hey. These Skype calls, I'm going to just start recording them. You know, I'll put them as a podcast. But then, you know, like with certain people I talk to, the info gets to such a deep, disturbing level that and people are just not ready for that.
It can be a good idea. I mean, you can just record it as a podcast, compress it and upload it to lots of free places, well,
I thought even my hardcore fans probably don't want to hear, you know, some of the stuff. No. When I talk about hardcore fans, I'm talking like the 15 or 20 people that are. You know,
well, it's a lot bigger today.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're growing by leaps and bounds here.
All right, we'll plug out, and I'll send this through to you sometime today anyway.
Awesome. And, it'll be posted on my blog, too. So
I'll get that through.
Yeah, I'll put a link up on my blog.
All right.
Okay, it was great chatting with you, Adam.
No worries, good stuff, and we'll catch up again soon. The 9/11 stuff is good. I very much like it. So we can continue on that at least anyway. Maybe some of the security stuff's very vital to go through.
Sure, yeah, we can talk about Kroll, all those guys, yeah.
All right. We'll speak again soon.
Okay. It's good talking to you, Adam.
Thanks, Don.
You bet.